This is Howard Husick, Vice President for Policy Research here at the Manhattan Institute, with one of a series of podcast interviews with the winners of our 2011 Social Entrepreneurship Awards, the prizes which recognize privately conceived and funded approaches to social problems. I'm joined by Barbara Elliott from Houston, Texas, the founder of the Work Faith Connection, which, since starting its work in 2007, has helped more than 1,000 ex-offenders build new lives based around employment. Barbara has had a distinguished career. She's the author of Street Saints, Renewing America's Cities, and is the founder of the Center for Cultural Renewal, a resource center established in 1997 for faith-based organizations working to renew the cities of America. In 2001, President George W. Bush awarded her the Eleanor Roosevelt Award for Human Rights, recognizing her work with refugees and the poor. And during the Bush administration, she collaborated with the White House Office for Faith-Based and Community Initiatives and its Capital Fund for Compassion. Barbara and WorkFaith's Chief Executive Officer, Sandy Schultz, are winners of one of this year's five Richard C. Cornell Awards for Social Entrepreneurship. Barbara, there are a lot of social problems in the United States, and some people don't necessarily have a charitable reaction to those who have been in prison. They may not appreciate the scope of this problem. What drew you to get involved in it?
I've been involved in looking at a number of organizations all over the country, really for the last 15 years or so, dealing with urban issues, everything from homelessness to drug addiction, at-risk children, and also how to do something about prison issues. And I've seen the interrelationship of them. I've done policy analysis and, you know, done a lot of work looking at different other programs. And after I did a book about all this stuff called Street Saints, and I'd been all over the country speaking on a whole lot of different subjects, I came back to Houston and I looked at this particular city, and we have so many really vibrant organizations here and a number of faith-based organizations. But the one thing that was lacking was one organization that truly could break the cycle, that could do the last piece of transitioning people into a whole life. And very often, the fact that people have been in prison makes it very difficult for them to find a job, to ever support their children, to be reunited with their families, and to find a way to do anything other than go back into the thing that got them into prison in the first place. So it really looked to me like an opportunity to go at one of the core issues that is related to all of the other urban issues that I've been looking at, and to say, how if we just look at the employment piece? For those who have had their heart changed already, ours is a faith-based program, and for that reason, we were looking to partner with organizations that were helping to change people's hearts first, but the next piece was then to say, and we will help get you ready to work. About 60% of the folks that come through our program do have felonies in their background, probably closer to 90-some percent have some kind of substance abuse issues, and they're very often related. So it looked to me as if we could really get the employment thing right, by stabilizing their lives in all respects, that we break the cycle. And in fact, that's exactly what we've been able to do, and it's just been amazing to see the results.
Barbara, what differentiates the approach of the Work Faith Connection and its emphasis both on faith and on work?
Our goal is to help get people ready to be a very good employee. First of all, to get them ready to talk about their past in a way that is truthful, to teach them how to fill out an application well, not just, you know, without spelling mistakes, but actually giving the essence of what their strengths are, teaching them how to present who they are. They even learn how to do a 30-second commercial, essentially, about themselves. You know, the classic elevator speech. If you're next to the CEO of the company on the elevator going up, what do you say in the 30 seconds you have before you reach the 22nd floor? So teaching them that, teaching them the attitude of what it means to not just get the job, but to keep it. And we do. We emphasize faith, and we help encourage them to grow to be the fullest and best version of who they were created to be. It's open to people of all faiths, and we've had people of all faiths, but we're looking at the God-given capabilities that every person has, and we're also loving them into wholeness. A whole lot of these folks really don't believe they're worth anything, and to have the total affirmation of a whole staff and all of the volunteers and really a network of several thousand people in town now who wrap around them, we are loving them into wholeness in a process that extends over several years. Formally, our program is a year, but they come back after that first year of being on one job for 1 year, and then we help them advance. So, you know, they're in our orbit for 2, 3, even 4 years, and that makes all the difference by strengthening their faith as well as equipping them to work.
You've written a lot about the importance of family. Does employment relate? It obviously does, but talk about how employment relates to reuniting, re-knitting families.
Well, one of the most difficult handicaps, I'll say, one of the hardest obstacles for people to overcome, many of them in kind of the inner city setting, is that so many people are growing up without a father in their life, and there's a direct correlation between poverty and single-parent families. There have been studies that a variety of institutes have done. Heritage Foundation had one not too long ago. I've done some white papers on this area as well. If you can reunite families, and if you could have two parents speaking into the life of a child, it is so much better for them, not just economically, but emotionally, psychologically, educationally. The outcomes in all of those areas are just much, much better. And we're finding that our graduates that are now employed for the first time begin to send child support checks. And in fact, one of the guys on our staff who had not paid anything for his children for years, he came to us about 3 weeks out of prison. He started sending checks to his ex. And she jokingly says, hell must have frozen over because we're now getting checks from Scott. But the fact that he is now supporting his children has helped to contribute to the stability of their lives. And that in turn is having a ripple effect then through neighborhoods. You know, as children are better supported and as they're having the example of two parents, those children are not at risk either. Children who have parents in prison are at least 7 times more likely to follow them into prison later. And we're breaking the cycle for them, too.
How big a problem is the problem of prisoner reentry in Houston and, for that matter, in the United States?
Oh, my goodness. It's a huge problem. We have buses that stop in Houston every couple days from one place or another. They let them out at the bus station. They simply turn them loose with a few dollars in their pocket and say good luck. And the likelihood that the people who have simply been released, that they will actually be able to find employment and find the few employers who are willing to give people with a felony in their background, give them an opportunity, find a place that will rent to somebody with felons in their background, is very slim. Without additional assistance of people who can wrap around all the elements of their life, even with all goodwill on their part, it's just very difficult. And we're finding that with collaboration with a number of people who can address all the various things in their life that they need, it is possible to change the trajectory of their life. But it's almost impossible for them alone to just get all of the things into place that they need for a successful life.
It really can be done. I know a lot of people might be skeptical. What sorts of results are you seeing to convince you that it can be done?
Well, from our program alone, and we've been up and running now, coming up, we're just at the end of our fifth year. We've been up and running for 4 full years, in other words, and a little bit beyond that. We have graduated now 1,416 people. I think that's the full tally now. We have 60% of our folks have had felonies. Another 15% have had misdemeanors. So, you know, we're looking at a lot of crime in the background, most of them with some kind of substance abuse issues. Of those who have stayed with us and who are still in touch with us, we know that 78% of them have found employment and are still employed. That's a phenomenal success rate. I mean, of all the other organizations that are even doing anything remotely like this, it's just much more successful. And I think part of it is that we are emphasizing not just getting a job, but we're emphasizing changing their character. But we're also connecting them then to other people to do the other things that are necessary for them to get their lives fully embedded in a healthy direction. connecting them to churches, connecting them to recovery groups that they can stay in touch with, encouraging them to continue their education if that's what's necessary, helping them advance on their job, and just having people that they can go back to when they hit a snag in their path. But we are seeing that they are not going back to prison. They're not going back to addiction. And even if they hit a little bit of a bump on the road and maybe do relapse and, you know, go drink or do drugs one weekend, we tell them, come back. You know, don't quit. Come back. And we help them get on their feet again. And then they do. And it is possible for them to change their lives. And they are some of the best and most grateful and most loyal employees precisely because somebody was willing to give them a chance.
Barbara, you've had a distinguished career in public life and you've seen government from both sides. Work Faith is a program that's privately funded, privately initiated. How do you think about that as compared to receiving government grants and support from the government? Does it give you advantages? Are there disadvantages? How do you think about it?
Well, I actually helped to evaluate some of the grants that went out through the Compassion Capital Fund. I've worked with philanthropists as well. I've looked at it from both the private and the public side. And from the very outset, we decided we did not want to apply for government funding, and I don't believe that we ever will, precisely because we have the freedom to do the program in a way that includes faith as a part of our mission. We do pray. We do talk about scripture. We talk about forgiveness. We talk about reconciliation. We talk about transformation. And because we are totally privately funded, we are free to do that. I don't want to have to dilute the message of what we do. And I think it would take away the unique strength of it, honestly. I've come up with what I kind of jokingly call Eliot's Law. It's a little bit, it's a takeoff on Lord Acton. Here's Eliot's Law. Federal funding tends to secularize. Absolute federal funding secularizes absolutely. We're able to keep the integrity and the potency of what we do because we have the faith factor intact. And it demonstrably makes a difference. If you look at the research of people like Byron Johnson, the faith factor actually does make a difference in prison programs, in programs that are helping addicts. The statistics bear it out. The sociological research bears it out. And from the standpoint of just seeing the people's lives transformed, we see it as well. And I believe that this is the kind of work that belongs squarely in the private sector. We have donors who are very, very happy to see this happen in the private sector. And I think that's where we're able to do it best.
Flexibility in faith. Barbara, thank you so much for what you're doing. We're honored at the Institute to be able to honor the Work-Faith connection. And thank you for your time.
My pleasure. Thank you so much, and we are delighted to have the award.
You're welcome. This has been Howard Husick, Vice President for Policy Research here at the Manhattan Institute, with one of a series of podcast interviews with the winners of our 2011 Social Entrepreneurship Awards.